Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We'll continue on the Sermon on the Mount. If you need a Bible, raise your hands and one of our ushers will make sure you get one. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to continue on and we're going to do verse 7 and 8 here. So Matthew 7, 7 and 8. It says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open." Let me also read the Message version. It's up on the screen. It says, "Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This isn't a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in." Oh, let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. We are just so grateful, God, that baby Ming Ming is with a really loving Christian family here in Hong Kong, Lord, and we pray, God, that she would grow, Lord, into the beautiful woman, God, that you've destined her to be, a woman of God. And so we just continue to give her into your arms, God, through our prayers, Father. And Lord, thank you for SP, thank you for this church, God, and so good to be back, Lord, here at SP, here in Hong Kong. And Lord, now we just come to your word, God, and we ask you to speak to us through it, God. Lord, to that end, we ask you to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, and give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us, individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach a prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just convey your words, God, but convey your heart. We thank you, Lord. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it'll be open to you. It sounds so easy, doesn't it, for all of us? Now, in this part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is reintroducing us again to the prayer life, to the topic of prayer. The first time he mentioned it was way back in chapter 6, verse 5, and then he followed that up with just a beautiful teaching on the Lord's Prayer, or what they would call the prayer during this time. And so it's a great way of kind of intersecting a little bit and really just talking about prayer. And so, I mean, what really is the big deal about prayer? It is as old as man, as universal as religion, you know, as instinctive as breathing. Yet, in some places around the world, it's banned. The country that I come from, the United States. Oh, by the way, I should mention this. I did a different DNA test, and I was pretty shocked by my last one, and so I did a better one, a little more expensive one. And my result just came back this morning, so I found out. And so, you know, I'm back to normal. I am 88.1% Korean, just like I thought I was. I'm also 10.1% Japanese, and so one of my grandparents was part Japanese, and so that's cool, that's good too, you know, and I'm also 2% Native American, and I wish I'd have known that when I was in college. I could have got a scholarship, but in any case, it's all passed, and so I'm happy now, but let's go back to this. So in the U.S., I don't know how I got to that topic, but in any case, in the United States, where I'm from. I'm from Korea. But the United States, where I got my citizenship, prayer is banned in public schools. And, I mean, it is crazy to think a nation built on the founding fathers of faith actually are banning public school. But there was a sign, some cheeky student put up this sign in a public restroom in a high school. And the sign said, "Notice, in the event of an atomic attack, the federal ruling against prayer in this school will be temporarily suspended." We also pray, most of us pray before we eat. I heard this story. This little boy was asked to pray over the meal. And the boy looked over the meal. Before him, he, instead of bowing his head, though, he actually took his fork and started eating while his parents were waiting for him to pray. And parents opened up their eyes and said, "Son, we ask you to pray." you know, why didn't you pray before the meal? And the boy answered, I already prayed for this food. These are leftovers, man. And so, continued on. Sorry, some of you slow ones, you'll catch that in a moment. Just wait, okay? Just wait. Ask your neighbor if you don't understand. You know, prayer is practiced by people of men and from all sorts of faith. Every faith has prayer attached to it in some way. You know, everyone actually prays in their own way, especially when they're desperate. There's a story. There were three ministers, and they were talking about prayer in general and the appropriate and effectiveness, particularly the most effective positions for prayer. As they were talking, a telephone repairman who was working on the telephone system came into the room and was overhearing what was this conversation that was going on. One minister felt that the key was in the hands, and he held them together, and he would point their hands towards the sky. And he said that was the best form of prayer. That's the best position for us to pray. Another suggested that, no, the best position to pray is actually on one's knees. And he said that that is the most effective way that we ought to pray. A third suggested that they both had it wrong. The only way to pray was to fall face flat on your face. Totally prostrate before God. And that's actually the best way how to pray. And by this time, the phone operator couldn't hold his tongue anymore. And so he interjected. He says, you know, the most powerful prayer that I ever prayed in my life was while I was dangling upside down on my heels from a power pole 40 feet away from the ground floor. He says, that was the most powerful position for prayer. And which goes to show everyone prays, especially when we are desperate. And that's okay. That's okay, regardless of how we pray. You know, I personally find my most, and I don't know if it's my most effective prayer, but it's the most soothing prayer for me is actually lying on my back with my arms extended saying, God, have mercy on me. I don't know what to do. And I find that personally is the best position. But if I was dangling from a pole, you know, 40 feet high, I probably think that was the most powerful position as well. But prayer springs from the heart. It really springs from the heart. It's a statement more than anything else, but that there is something and someone higher than me. It's a response that I have a need that's greater than my ability to encounter it. Prayer is man's acknowledgement of a being higher than himself. And so, I mean, this is really, I mean, if you really break it down and you realize, well, why do we have such a difficult time praying? And in my, you know, 25-odd years of ministry, I really narrowed it down to one thing. I don't think it's so much laziness. And that definitely has a part of it, but even that laziness, I believe, comes from self-sufficiency. I think the reality is most of us don't have very effective prayer lives, or we don't pray because deep inside, we feel like we can do it ourselves. And because I know that, because then the moment when you get into a situation that you can't deal by yourself, then we pray. So you're at work, you know what you're doing, things are going fine, you forget to pray to the Lord. It's not a priority for us, but the moment that work gets really tough, the moment that you get into a situation that you can't deal with yourself, then we find ourselves on our knees before God. Thus, we got out of our self-sufficiency and our self-centeredness in that way. And so it's important for us to remember that. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, this is what it says. And it says, it came about that while he was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. Now, you heard me teach on this passage before. There was something so incredible about Jesus' prayer life. I mean, if you can imagine that you're with Jesus and spending those 3 years with him, and he did so many amazing things. A lot of times I imagine that I would be there and I would say, Lord, how do we do miracles? I mean, how did you make that guy see again? He was blind. You know, how did you raise the dead? All these different things. But even those things, how incredible that was, there was something so incredible about Jesus' prayer life. And they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that if you would have that heart and you would really earnestly ask the Lord that question, he would teach you how to pray. I started this journey years and years ago, asking the same question the disciples did, Lord, teach me how to pray. And the Lord has been so faithful to me in that regard. There's something so different about his prayer life. Now, interesting enough, when you go and you do a little word study, you get a little bit of an idea of what they're really asking the Lord. Because listen, brothers and sisters, the disciples knew how to pray. As good Jewish boys growing up in Israel during this time, they're taught very well how to pray. But it was something different. And so the disciples, they actually use a different word for this word prayer. To pray is in the Greek, eukamai. And it's a very simple word. And sometimes it's translated as a wish. You can see that through the scriptures. But primarily it means to pray to God. You know, you're asking God, you're wishing for something in that way. But that's not the word, and that's a common word in the Greek, in the New Testament. But that's not the word that the disciples ask him. So they didn't ask him to eukamai, they asked him to pros eukamai. And the word that they use, the pros, actually means to be near or by or towards. In other words, Jesus didn't just pray. He didn't just utter words like the Pharisees did. He didn't just say things like the way they were taught growing up. He didn't just ask God for things. There was something so different that when Jesus prayed, the disciples felt the intimacy. They felt the closeness. They knew that he was praying towards God, or he was with God during this time. And that's what they were asking Jesus about. Not, Lord, teach us the words, how to pray. Teach us certain phrases. And if I'm in this situation, what should I pray? They weren't really asking that. They were saying, Jesus, when you pray, I've seen other people pray, but when you pray, I feel something. When you pray, something happens. When you pray, there's a closeness and a dearness that takes place. That's what they were asking for. Not just simply to utter words. Not just simply to have an arsenal of phrases that we offer to God. But when Jesus prayed, there was a closeness and a nearness and a dearness in his heart. And seemingly a transformation was taking place. And that's what they're asking by. He didn't just pray. He was near to God when he did so. There was something about when he prayed, he just drew closer to the Lord. Pros eukamai. That's what they were asking for. And so now you understand why they asked. They had been taught their whole life how to pray. But no one prayed like Jesus prayed. When he prayed, the disciples felt the Father around him. There was just something of God that came down in this place. That's what they were asking for, and that's what they wanted. It wasn't just words that flowed out of his mouth. There was a communion with God that was taking place. It was powerful. I mean, absolutely powerful. On this past trip to Israel, we actually had the privilege of having Peter Sukahira. And he spent the whole morning with us. And if you guys were here a few months ago when Peter came and during the weeknight and spoke at SP. And so he was very gracious. He stayed over an extra night. He had just finished. He was taking care of like 120 people all through Israel in a school of ministry. Just finished that. And then he was finished in Jerusalem. He was on his way, but he stayed one more night to spend the morning with us. And so we had him the whole morning. And so he was teaching, and so he started off telling his story, and then he had a Q&A session, and then he gave us a sermon afterwards, and by the time it was over, it was like 3.5 hours, And it was, I mean, it was amazing, amazing, amazing. And the best way I can describe it was like Peter's teaching was like glue. And we had known all these different things about Israel and Christianity, but he was able to put everything together. And what I felt like, and it was interesting because on the last day, we actually went to the road to Emmaus, you know, where Cleopas and his friend met with Jesus. And I felt like I was on the road to Emmaus with Jesus, you know, Peter, you know, and it was the Spirit of Jesus teaching us during this time. And, you know, and I recognize there's teaching, you know what I mean? And there's Spirit life-giving teaching. It's a whole nother. It's like there's preaching and there's anointed preaching. Tim Keller wrote this book on preaching. If you've ever got a chance, I mean, I haven't read it, but someone, I mean, I know it's just it's really bad me recommending a book when, you know, I have it. You know, actually, Tim sent me a copy, but I haven't read it yet. I'll get to it. But I was in a meeting and he was describing, and so I basically got the gist of it. So I feel like, okay, there's other books to read. Any case, so. And he said, this is the difference between a bad preacher and a good preacher. It's homework. You know, the good preacher puts in his time, does his homework. The difference between a good preacher and a great preacher is Holy Spirit. And in that same way, you know, when I think about Jesus' prayer and even Peter's teaching, that's the difference. There's anointing that happens there. And when Jesus was praying, anointing was flowing in that place. That's why they asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray. See, true prayer is more than just words through the, or just words, though words are definitely used. A lot of times prayer is moans and groans. I'm reminded of Hannah in 1 Samuel. I remember she was suspected of being drunk by Eli, the priest. And she was communing with God. There's moans and groans, like Paul will tell us in Romans, that are too deep for words. And it can almost seem like you may be drunk or out of your mind, but it's communion with God. It's prosukamai in this place. True prayer is union and communion with God. So most people try to pray, yet few know how to pray. We often ask ourselves, if prayer is so important, then why is it so difficult to do? Let me give you the quick, short answer. There's a long answer, but let me give you the short answer. Prayer is difficult because it's so powerful. Sometimes prayer is difficult because it's so powerful. See, everything that happens to us is made possible by prayer. John Wesley says, God does nothing except an answer to prayer. E.M. Bounds, and if you want to read some really good books on prayer, now these books I've read, and so E.M. Bounds has a whole series on prayer, and in one of his books he says, only God can move mountains, but faith and prayer move God. Only God can move mountains, but faith and prayer move God. I experienced this years ago. Right when I became a Christian, I went to a retreat with my church. And at this retreat, I just had an experience with God. It was so powerful. I came home refreshed, reignited. God really met me at this prayer mountain that we had our retreat at. It was just a simple two-night retreat, you know, a little weekend thing that our church did periodically. And, I mean, I really had this incredible mountaintop encounter with the Lord. I remember coming home after that retreat, just really pumped up. And I'd always share with my mom, you know, what's going on and what happened. And my mom relayed this message to me. He says, oh, wow, that's great. You know, your dad was praying so hard for you while you were at the retreat. And I was shocked. Number one, I was shocked that my dad even prayed. And I mean, that's no joke. I was really like, because I barely thought he was a Christian at this time. But he was praying. And then I came to this incredible realization that the encounter that I had was correlated to the prayers of my parents. And that was a really, really important connection that I had to make, especially early in my Christian life, that what I was experiencing was really the result of someone else's prayer. And I recognized how important intercession was in our lives. You know, really, think about it. Most of the things that we receive in our life are really the result of someone else's prayer. In my instance, it was my parents. Brothers and sisters, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. If you're not praying, I mean, as a believer, and you're not praying, right now, you're living off someone else's prayer. You're living off someone else's prayer. You know, when you're a child, that's okay. But as a grown adult, that's not that good. Now, if you're a new Christian, please live off other people's prayers for a season. One or two seasons more. But then you need to also pray this prayer and ask the Lord, Lord, teach me how to pray. Teach me to pray and have communion with God. And there's a shift that needs to take place. That's called maturity. That's called growing up in this way. You know, my son Andrew is 3 years old, and my wife and I do a lot of things for him. But if he's 25 years old and we're still doing things for him, we're horrible parents. And that same way, if you are a Christian for so many years, 5, 10 years, and you still don't know how to pray, I'm a really, really bad pastor, and I'm not really doing you any service. And so please talk to the Lord about this. Really, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. It could be that you may be living off someone else's prayers. Again, it's okay for a season, but it's time that we grow up. Because I remember a time like that once. At this time, I was in seminary, and I was just taking Dr. Peter Wagner's class on prayer, and it was, the class was on spiritual warfare, but a huge part of that was on prayer. It was a missiology class, and he had mentioned about intercessors and all these things, and so I started recruiting intercessors. I started asking people that I knew had a really vibrant prayer life, and I would say, hey, you know, would you pray for me? Can you pray about praying for me? And so I'd recruited a small army, and it was really great. You know, so many people believed in me and what I was doing. And so they said, okay, yeah, we'll pray for you. And so you know what I did? I actually stopped praying. And so I just thought, you know what? I'm going to leave the praying up to the professionals. I'm not a professional. And so I'm a professional preacher, so let me focus on preaching. You know, I was traveling a lot during this time and going to different places. And so I'm going to focus on that stuff. And so I'm going to leave the praying up to the professionals. And I honestly did this for a season of time. You know what happened? I started getting really, really dry. I mean, I started getting really, really irritable. A lot of things really begin to happen. And I forgot Oswald Chambers' great, great quote in his book. And he says, prayer is not for the higher work. Prayer is the higher work. And I totally forgot about that. See, please don't have this attitude like I did. Leave it up to the professionals. Well, you can. I mean, you know, but your relationship with God, it's just not going to be fun. And so the Lord teaches us how to pray in this time. So going back to that, Lord, teach us to pray. So let me break this down. There are basically two types of prayers. This is going to be one of the most simple messages for us, okay? It's because I want to make it really simple. There are basically two types of prayers. The first type of prayer is prayer that does not reach God. And then obviously the second type of prayer is a prayer that reaches God. I told you, this is really simple, okay? There's prayer that does not reach God, and there's prayer that reaches God. Now, there's a great passage of Scripture. It's in Luke chapter 18, if you want to turn there, from verse 9. Luke 18, 9 through 14. And it says, and he also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humble, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. So, look at this. Two men. Both men went to the same exact place at the same exact time for the same exact purpose, to pray. So simple. Two men, Pharisee, tax gatherer, two men, same exact place, same exact time for the same exact purpose, to pray. Yet one of the prayers reached God and the other one did not. The Pharisee prayed in his religious pride. It was just a routine that he did. It was just not something that flowed out of his heart. It was out of his pride. He was expecting God to answer because he thought himself worthy. This is the sin of presumption. He informed God of his own goodness, like God needed to know that. He informed God that he was better than other people. He boasted of his good works. He says, I fast twice a week. I tithe all that I get, so on and so forth. This is the kind of prayer that does not reach God. This is self-righteous prayer. Yet on the other hand, the publican, the tax gatherer, he came to God in great humility. He was conscious of his own unworthiness. He was confessing himself a sinner. He was begging God for mercy. This is the kind of prayer that reaches God, righteous prayer versus the self-righteous prayer. He was calling out to a God who was merciful, and God answered his prayer. He says he left that place justified rather than the other. There's a kind of prayer that reaches God and a kind of prayer that doesn't reach God. And the main issue or the central issue is our heart. Prayer is so simple that way. You come to the Lord with a broken heart. You come to the Lord clean. You come to the Lord asking God, you know, out of our needs. Man, God ministers to us. You come to God out of religion. You come to God out of your routine. Maybe even telling God how great you are and how wonderful you are that you came to God in prayer and how you woke up so early and all those kinds of things. That's self-righteous prayer. It doesn't work that way. And there's a huge difference in these things. So what is prayer in this way? See, it's a rare privilege for us to pray because it brings you into close relationship and close fellowship with God, admitting your need for him and your utter dependence upon him. Going back to the passage in Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Prayer is asking and receiving, seeking and finding, knocking and opening. It's so simple. It's talking with God. It's making your request known to him in faith. The Lord instructs us to ask, to seek, and to knock. And really, these three things make up the whole spectrum of our prayer life in this way. Now, you'll also recognize the sentence structure here. And in Greek, the way it's laid out, this is what we call a present tense imperative. In other words, probably better translated would be saying, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And so it's something that's an ongoing activity that takes place, not something that you just do at one time, but it's ongoing. So let's break down Matthew 7:7 really quick for us. I have three simple points, okay? Number one, prayer is asking and receiving. So this is a key. This is how we break down this spectrum of prayer, asking and receiving. When you know the will of God regarding a need, whether it be material or spiritual, then you can ask and receive, okay? So asking, receiving, you know this is God's will, ask and receive. Really simple. Now, you may have to keep asking, but you will receive. It's simple. You know God's will. You know God wants to heal your father. Ask and you shall receive. You know the will of God. You know the will of God that you're supposed to be married. Ask and you'll receive. You know the will of God that you're supposed to get this new promotion. Ask and you'll receive. You know that your mom is going to be saved. Ask and you'll receive. It's really simple in this way. This is prayer according to the revealed will and the revealed work of God. 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15. And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, in other words, you know his will, it says he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. Isn't that great? In other words, you know God's will about a matter with confidence. We ask and we receive. It's really simple. You know God's will. You're sure of the will of the Lord. Revealed to you in the scriptures. Revealed to you maybe prophetically. Ask and you shall receive. So prayer is asking and receiving. Number two, prayer is seeking and finding. And this is how this breaks down. When you don't know God's will about a certain matter regarding a need, whether it's material or spiritual, then you are to seek his will in prayer concerning that need until you find it out. Okay? It's really simple. So asking, receiving, you ask and receive. In other words, you know God's will, so you say, Lord, bam! Bam is not such a good, because I don't want to get into this word of faith thing. But it is simple like that. You know, you're so sure of the will of God. Yes, Lord, this is mine. Remember, Mark, he says, when you pray in faith, pray like you've already received it, and it'll be given to you. That's ask and receive. You know God's will, so you act like you already got it. The second part here is the seeking and finding. In other words, you're a little bit unsure about the will of the Lord. You don't know exactly what God is saying to you. You're a little puzzled or confused or perplexed about that matter. Guess what? You can seek him, or this place, and you can find him. And so when you don't know God's will about a matter, seek and keep seeking. And so think about this, how it works. You keep seeking until you hear God's opinion on that subject, and then you step into asking and receiving. You see how that works? Right, Jesus, he's so smart. He makes it so simple for us. Ask and receive. You know God's will. Ask and you shall receive. You don't know God's will or God's heart about a matter. Seek and you shall find. Colossians 3:1. Right, this is prayer for knowledge of the unrevealed will of God in a specific need. You don't know if that other job is for you. You don't know if maybe that you should be moving to another country. You have all these, you don't, so you seek God's will about a matter, and then when God speaks to you his will, then you go into the ask. Okay, then, God, that's what, okay, Lord, give me that job. Right, I'm supposed to be in Singapore? Okay, God, then release this to make that possible. You get it? Ask, receive, and then seek and find. Colossians 3:1. If then you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We need to keep seeking him, because that's not our natural intent of our heart. And so it's important. Jeremiah 29:12-13. He says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's the Old Testament equivalent. Seek and you will find. Ask and receive. This is prayer according to the revealed will of God. seek and find. This is prayer for knowledge of the unrevealed will of God over a specific need. And then number three, this is the toughest one of all, okay? This is knocking and opening. Knocking and opening. This is when you know the will of God, and yet you still find a closed door. Like, you know this is God's will, but the door is still closed, or it's not happening at that moment, then you're to knock and keep knocking until God opens the door. This is persevering prayer. It's interesting that when Jesus is speaking on the topic of prayer, that most of his topic deals with the issue of perseverance. He's telling the widow to keep seeking after that righteous judge and keep bothering him. He's telling the friend to keep knocking on your friend's door, you know, to give you that food in the middle of the night. This is definitely the hardest part, and this is the place of waiting on the Lord and all these things. This is knocking and opening. You know the will of God, and yet your prayer is not being answered. Then you're to knock and keep knocking until God opens that door. This is spiritual warfare that takes place. This is tenacious prayer. Prayer for mountain-moving faith. Knocking prayer perseveres until the impossible becomes possible. This is miracle-working prayer. And this is where probably most of us as Christians really struggle or really battle. You know this is God's will. I mean, you are sure this is the will of the Lord. But for whatever reason, it's just not happening. For whatever reason, the doors are just not being opened. And God is doing something deep in our lives. We may not understand it. We may be unaware of it. But there's something that God is doing. And he wants to open that door. And this is where we move in faith. This is where perseverance begins to take a hold of us. This is Matthew 17, 19 and 21. And then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." This is knocking and opening. It's not quite happening in this way. You know, the disciples were praying, and they were doing all kinds of miracles, and things were happening, but this demon just wouldn't budge. And it's the person. They knew they should cast this thing out. He says, this requires a whole other level. This requires faith. This requires perseverance. And in this case, this requires fasting to be added into the mix here. It's persevering prayer. And like I said before, this is probably the toughest for us as believers. Especially, you know God's in this thing, and yet it's still not happening. That's the time for the Christians, for the body of Christ, to get to work, to get into the business of getting in God's face. I mean, not a negative way. I know that's not a negative. That's not what I meant. You know, but to really get into his presence and to really, really seek his face. Prayer is asking and receiving. You know the will of God, and you pray and you receive. Prayer is seeking and finding. You don't know the will of God, and you seek his face until he reveals that will to you. And praying is knocking and opening. You know the will of God, yet it's still not happening. And then you got to keep on knocking. And he says, the door will be open to you. That's his promise. All things are possible when we ask, seek, and knock. Amen? Why don't we close our eyes? Let me bring the worship team back. What is Jesus saying to us? He's teaching us how to pray. So simple. yet so profound. If you are praying for things and you know, or if you're not praying for things, you should be praying, and you know the will of the Lord, ask and you will receive. It's a promise. You don't know God's will, seek, and you will find His will. Then you can ask and receive. Maybe you've sought Him and you found Him, you know the will and you've been asking, but you're not receiving, then knock. And that door will be open to you. Persevere. I imagine for a lot of us here at SP that we're in the realm of the third type on the spectrum. And Holy Spirit really wants to encourage you. Really, really wants to encourage you to keep praying, to keep knocking, to not lose heart. And as the team leads us in a song, just talk to the Lord. Ask God to give you strength. Maybe you need to pray like the disciples did in Luke 11:1. Lord, teach me how to pray like you pray. Not just to pray. Teach me to pray like you pray. Teach me to step into the Holy of Holies. Teach me to be intimate with the Father like you are when you pray. I don't want to just utter words or phrases. I want to be close to God. That's a great beginning, friends.
I cry out for your hand of mercy to heal. I need your love to free. Oh,
you to stand to our feet and let's sing this together. We're praying to a God that wants to answer prayer. We'll get into that next week a little bit more. We're praying to a God who loves us and wants the best for us. We're not praying to a deaf God, but we're praying to a God with ears wide open, arms wide open for us. And so maybe you're struggling in your prayer life, or maybe there's something that you really want to press into. Again, I just want to open the altars up for us and just invite you to come. Just have that moment with the Lord as we sing this song to close our service. I just invite you to come. Go ahead. Follow you forever. I just want to invite you, if these are any of your friends or house church members, to come. And even if you don't know anyone, just come and just support them in our prayers. You know, we're never meant to pray on our own. It says two or three would gather together in my name. He says, I'll be in the midst of you. And so I just want to invite you to come and just lay hands and just sit and kneel next to your friends and just really lift them up. Lift up their prayers before you. Why don't we do that together? We're going to sing this one more time. Go ahead, Pinay. Thank you, God. Lord, we come humbly, God, as your disciples, and we prayed what they prayed, God. Lord, don't just teach us to utter words, God. Don't teach us phrases, Lord. Teach us to pray like you pray, God. Jesus, when you pray, not only do things happen, but there's a closeness and a dearness. God, we want to step into that place of intimacy, God. Really, that when we pray, Lord, that you are enough for us, God. And so come, Holy Spirit, teach us how to pray. Lord, and for so many of us that are knocking, God, so many of us that are trying to find your will, would you speak to us, God, in that place of communion? into that secret place, Lord. God, have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us, God. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You guys can continue to pray and minister to each other. If you need some prayer for healing, I want you to come up to the well. God bless you guys. Have a great, great week. Please pray for me. I got two more services today. All right, and so enjoy the rest of your time. Bless you guys.